And welcome to Juno Afternoon. This is Shona. It's Thursday, September 12th. You're listening to KTOO. We have a great show for you today. Juno Pride Chorus is going to talk to us about their upcoming season. Corey Mills and Beverly Schoonover will be here to highlight this weekend's Capital Brew Fest. Laura Haywood and Tom Loker will be here with a preview of Sunday's Juno Cabaret at Rockwell. And, of course, as every Thursday, Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. You'll hear Writer's Almanac, music, and more here today on Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Six northern Wisconsin tribes sent a letter to President Obama asking the U.S. government to take legal action against Wisconsin and stop mining activity. Mike Simonson reports.
The August 28th letter to President Obama asked to have the Interior Department prepare legal action to protect the ceded territory of northern Wisconsin. They cite the treaties of 1837, 1842, and 1854, allowing them to hunt, fish, and gather, and that the proposed open-pit iron ore mine would destroy streams, wetlands, fisheries, and wildlife that tribal members need to survive. Specifically, the tribes say new iron ore mining legislation passed this year takes away environmental protections and strips the Department of Natural Resources of its ability to prevent pollution it says a mine would cause. The letter alleges that iron ore mining would release arsenic, lead, and mercury into the water, and that runoff from mining waste would contain sulfides. Directly referring to the new legislation, the tribal leaders from Bad River, Red Cliff, Lacouturay, St. Croix, Sacaugan, and Lac des Flambeaux say the state is trying to, quote, legislate away the tribe's treaty rights, end quote. The tribes say the threat to tribal rights and land is immediate and asked to meet with President Obama as soon as possible. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson.
When mining legislation was signed in March, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said the legislation addresses safe and environmentally sound mining. Supporters say mining will create jobs. A South Dakota county, which contains part of the Pine Ridge Reservation, is receiving a grant to help with drug investigations. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Bennett County is on the Nebraska border in southern South Dakota. Most of the Pine Ridge Reservation lies to the west and north, with Rosebud Sioux tribal land to the east. The county's population is about two-thirds Native American. The sheriff's department consists of the sheriff and two deputies, and resources are limited. This week, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley announced the sheriff's department will receive just over $15,000 to assist with drug investigations. The Drug Control Fund money will go to purchase search warrant entry equipment and drug surveillance material. Bennett County Sheriff Lucas Hamar says the grant will better help his small department with enforcement and safety concerns. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
Navajo Nation President Ben Shelley discussed the tribe's feral horse problem with the Bureau of Land Management's National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board. According to a press release, Shelley told the board at its meeting this week in Arlington, Virginia, that feral horses are creating financial burdens for the tribe. The tribe says the horses also contribute to rangeland depletion, water source damage, property destruction, and other problems. More than $200,000 a year is being spent by the tribe to address the damage. The Navajo Nation Department of Agriculture estimates the feral horse population is about 75,000 and growing. Shelley says, as a horse owner, he'd like to see a humane solution to the problem. Other tribes across the country, including in Nevada, are facing similar problems. Animal advocates are concerned about horse slaughter and have argued that the roundup of horses on tribal and public land is inhumane. They've also raised concerns about the government's management of the animals. This weekend, the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe is celebrating its first affordable housing project. A groundbreaking ceremony for the project will take place Sunday in Mashpee, Massachusetts. The development is on 45 acres and will provide housing to eligible tribal members and other Native Americans in the area. The tribe's housing program began in 2003 and has grown to assist tribal members with a variety of housing needs.
We'll be right back.
During this week in 1989, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 28-cent stamp honoring Sitting Bull. The portrait of the Lakota leader was based on photographs from Smithsonian Institution archives. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And that's the Juno Pride Chorus. And with me in the studio, I have Leslie Wood. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Shona. Thank you.
Yeah. So that song, can you kind of set us up for that? What was the name of that song?
Yes, that was A Thousand Grandmothers. It's one of our favorites that we've sung in the past. I think the last time we sang it was in 2007. It's a very powerful song about women's strength and grandmothers and changing the world.
Great. And so for those people who don't know what the Pride Chorus is, can you give us a little more information?
Yes, the Juno Pride Chorus, officially called the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus, is a women's chorus that was formed in 1997, and it was a project of PFLAG. We still are sponsored by PFLAG, which is a national, we're a Juno chapter of the national organization of PFLAG. And PFLAG is specifically The mission for PFLAG is specifically for education, advocacy, and support for people with who are lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, questioning families of those people. And so the chorus as a whole, we've formed around that mission. And we sing songs to empower all sorts of people, but generally we are a women's chorus, so we sing songs that are women's strength and the issues that involve women and those we love, which is pretty much, you know, those, you know, any kinds of major issues. But so we have that slight, that take on our chorus.
How do people get involved in the chorus?
Well, we are starting our rehearsals next Tuesday on September 17th. We rehearse Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7 at Resurrection Lutheran Church, which is on the corner of 10th Street and Glacier Avenue. We're inviting, I'm on the radio today to invite women who've been wanting to join the chorus or maybe need something to do to have a creative outlet and also make friends and be around some strong women, have women's strength energy to join the chorus.
And sure. And do you rehearse once a week?
Yes, we rehearse once a week.
And what's the, you know, what's the payoff as far as what are you rehearsing for?
Well, we perform one major concert a year.
Oh, great.
We're hoping to up that in the future. But this year, our concert will be in the mid-April range. But we also sing other community events that we get asked to sing, which has been really nice community outreach. We've sung at World AIDS Day, and we've sung at memorial services. We sung recently at Gene Rogers Memorial Service. We also sang the Star-Spangled Banner at the Roller Derby last year.
Nice.
We are a regular at the Alaska Folk Festival. We've sung that every year. We've also sung at Perseverance Reading of the play called Eight last year.
So pretty much we can see you kind of all over the place, but then you have one big, big concert, and that's in April. So what does that concert consist of? So what are your rehearsals? Are they learning, you know, songs that you've already chosen, or how does that work?
Yes, we've chosen songs for this season, and we'll be rehearsing those songs for our April concert and whatever else concert we learn.
So what, as far as people, is there a place where people can go on the website or on the web to check you guys out?
Yes, we're on JunoPrideChorus.com.
Okay.
And that's a good way to learn a little bit about us. But we encourage people to come to rehearsals, at least a few, if you're thinking of joining, just to come and see if you want to join and see if this is something that you can really make a commitment to, because we do meet every week, and it's a big commitment, but we have a lot of fun. We learn a lot of fun music. And it's just a great group of women.
Yeah, and how does is there a music director? Is there one major music director? Or is it, do you all take kind of turns deciding which songs and who runs them?
Well, I'm the conductor.
Oh,
I've been
great.
The conductor for 12 years now. And we do have a music selection committee and a process to choose the music. And it does, we do get input from everybody on a theme or what kinds of songs we want to sing, and then final selection is usually with the whole group. And so that's one way that we differ from other choruses. But yes, I'm the music director, and
okay.
So I'm up on the podium teaching the music. And Jackie Farnsworth is our wonderful accompanist, and we have a percussionist, David Sheekley, and we just have a great group. And And I just want to stress that if, you know, you're thinking that you want to do something for yourself, this would be a good way to, you know, chase away the blues on a Tuesday night and come and join us and sing and end with laughter in your heart and a smile on your face.
Great. And so those rehearsals start Tuesday, September 17th. Can you give the time and the place one more time?
Yes, it's at Resurrection Lutheran Church, and it's at 5:30 until 7 p.m.
Perfect. And if people want more information online, they can check out
our JunoPrideChorus.com page.
Great. Well, Leslie, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about Juno Pride Chorus. And I look forward to seeing you all around town, which we always do, which is it's a lovely pleasure to have you all in town.
Thank you
so much.
We met up again at age 13. We finally got it on, if you know what I mean. I never will forget that fateful rowdy night. The phone call from the police really gave my folks some fright. From that evening on, we were best friends. And this is the story of how this love affair began. And her name was
Fair.
We met a long time ago.
Fair.
But I was too young to know
Fair.
That she'd be my best friend.
Fair.
We'd be together till the end.
Fair.
You're my favorite kind.
Fair.
But I don't mind buying. I'd live on beer if I could. Cause I never had anything.
Sean Tracy talking about some beer. Well, love Sean Tracy. And I love beer, and I'm so excited that Capital Brewfest is actually happening this fine Saturday. And in this studio with me to talk about all the happenings at Brewfest are Corey and Andy Mills. Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic.
Thank
well,
you for having
great.
Us.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So so Capital Brewfest is happening Saturday. Can we just kind of get the major details out in the open up front, and then we'll hit them again at the end, and then I have lots of questions about beer.
Okay, well, this Saturday, it's from 1 to 5 p.m., and it'll be at the Jack, and it'll be both be inside and have an outdoor component with some food vendors like the Spin and Pig. So I think those are kind of the basics, and tickets are going fast.
Okay, so there are still tickets available, mm-hmm. and where can you get them?
You can get them at the Jack, Hearthside, or online if you go to our website at capbrewfest.com.
And how much do they cost?
They're $30 a piece.
And what does that do for you?
Yeah, the $30 will get you a glass, entry into the event, and unlimited 2-ounce pours. So you go around, and we have 60-some beers this year mm-hmm. from about 10 different booths. There is also a $5 designated driver ticket, which will allow folks who may not like beer themselves to come and enjoy the music, the food, and hang out with friends who do like beer.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, they can just kind of hang out and So as this is a fundraiser, of course, so we got to keep that in mind. What's it a fundraiser for?
Yeah, so it's put on by the Juno Rotary Club, and we have 3 Rotary Clubs in town, but we're the best.
they all
anyway,
say that.
Just putting in a plug. But we also have a charity partner, and that's Saga. And they do a lot of community projects. They put out the ropes course out the road. And so they're going to be helping us out with the event. And some of the proceeds will go specifically to that charity. And then Rotary also does lots of other projects in the community that this money will help fund.
Countless programs.
Yeah. So this is the second year of the Brewfest. And what was the impetus to kind of begin this whole thing?
Yeah, Corey and I grew up here in Juneau. And when we were down in the Sacramento area, our Rotary Club down there put on the California Brewers Festival. And that was around 3,000 to 4,000 folks out in an open park. It was fantastic. And we really enjoyed that as a fundraiser, both in the fun that you would have at the event, and then introducing people to Rotary and, you know, charity fundraising. And so when we came back, the success, of course, of the Haynes Festival up north, everyone loves that.
That's a great time.
And we figured, okay, can we do something in the fall in Juneau, which surprisingly does not have a brew fest, and at the same time raise funds for the Rotary projects we do here in town and around the world.
Wow, that's a really great idea, and it was something that was really missing. And I know a lot of people jumped on board really quick to help out. Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Who are some of the other partners that, I mean, I know it's a fundraiser actually for Saga and for you all, but I know, like, I remember Rachel jumped on, Rachel Huesler.
Yeah, that was fantastic. The Jack has been amazing, but that's why we're doing it with them a second year in a row. And certainly there were a lot of sponsors who have helped us. Alaskan has really, our hometown
Alaskan
pride,
Brewing,
has really been a great partner. They're just one of the brewers that are pouring at the event, but they've been amazing as our hometown brewer.
Great. I got to get to the meat of it, so to speak. Who are the other breweries? What are the other breweries and brewers represented?
Oh, my gosh. So I guess the one I'm most excited about is we actually have Hoodoo Brewing from Fairbanks, coming all the way down from Fairbanks. It's a year since they opened, so it's really exciting. And then we've got Baranoff Brewing from Sitka, Broken Tooth from Anchorage, Haynes Brewing, Denali Brewing from up in the Anchorage area, and Kenai River, yeah. And then another great thing is all three distributors in town, Specialty Imports, Odom, and K&L Distributors, are all coming, and they're pouring beers from Pike's to Samuel Smith's from England. So then we've got the world covered in terms
Belgian
of the
beers.
Distributors.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're super excited.
Wow, this sounds like a great event. So one more time, give us some details, because we're very excited about this. I'm personally very excited.
You bet. We're over 500 tickets now sold already, so tickets may not actually be available at the door. That's what we're saying.
So get them now, right?
$30, go to capbrewfest.com or go to the ticket station down at the Jack. Come Saturday, enjoy good food, good bands. We have Kari and the Wrist Rockets, C. Scott Fry, and a band called DNR, which is going to be amazing. And Spinning Pig, V's Cellar Door is going to do some Mexican fusion. There's going to be a gourmet popcorn down there. You like jalapeno popcorn? I do.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little beer ice cream.
Ooh.
That's a fun.
And then save your time for tradition. Afterwards at 5 p.m. we end, and you can go downtown and, you know,
restaurants,
fun,
other places,
restaurants.
Have your fun.
Yeah. That sounds great. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate, Corey and Andy, that you come on to talk to us about what a great event. What a great fundraiser. I will totally drink beer for the cause. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
We met up again at age 13. We finally got it on, if you know what I mean. I never will forget that fateful rowdy night. The phone call from the police really gave my folks a fright. From that evening on, we were best friends. And this is the story of how this love affair began. And her name was
Beer.
We met a long time ago.
Beer.
But I was too young to know
Beer.
That she'd be my best friend.
Beer.
We'd be together till the end.
Free beer.
You're my favorite kind.
Beer.
But I don't mind buying. I'd live on beer if I could.
And that's Sean Tracy talking about a little beer. And in the studio with me, I now have Linda Buckley, and she's here with the Juneau People for Peace and Justice. Hi, Linda. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Shona. Thank you.
Yeah. So first off, let's go ahead and we're going to get a little live music. I've been so lucky in the studio lately getting some live music. So great. We're going to give peace a chance. Yeah.
So this, why are the songs from the 60s still appropriate now? That's the big question. All I am saying, give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Oh, Spronky. And then I was going to do.
I ain't going to study war no more. I ain't going to study war no more. Ain't going to study war no more. Ain't going to study war no more. Ain't going to study war no more.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much. So did you know People for Peace and Justice? You said there's a peace march and a rally this weekend.
Yeah, we, you know, in response to the situation in Syria, we had a meeting on Monday, and there were probably 40 or 50 people that came to the meeting, and we decided, because Congress was going to vote on Wednesday about a strike on Syria, that moving really fast, to just make a show of support in Juneau for those people that really want diplomatic alternatives. And as it turned out now, of course, that might be happening, which is a really exciting thing. But And I suggested music and kids and streamers and something really joyful. And so I'm bringing my guitar, and we might have a couple other musicians. And we're meeting right near where the parking lot is, where we stage for the parade, next to the bridge.
Okay.
And just singing and walking down towards Marine Park. And then at 1:30, we'll have a little bit of a program. Beth Curtula will be speaking, and some representatives from Veterans for Peace. And then there'll be an open mic. And I expect the whole event might just be an hour from 1 to 2. It might tag nicely with the Brewfest.
That's right. You can march for peace first.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
Reward yourself with some beer.
Yeah.
So you said this got together fairly quickly, actually in direct response to the situation in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And so does you know People for Peace and Justice? Are you a group that kind of mobilizes like this a lot? And what kind of other march and demonstrations have you done?
Well, of course, there was a big one when we were going to go into Iraq. And anytime there's something that's, you know, really internationally compelling, there's more of it. But they certainly make a showing on Veterans Day. There's they meet every single Monday at Northern Lights Church at 5:15. And so there's a core group that has been really faithfully meeting to just work for peace and justice in however that looks.
Is that an open meeting? I mean,
it is an open meeting. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And actually getting the word out, you know, getting on the show and getting something in the paper. When you do something really last minute, there's emails. We've done Facebook. I really wanted to get the word out to university students because I know they, you know, when I speak to students, they're definitely want a world, you know, that's free of conflict. And the same with a lot of students in the schools. But it's, you know, posters a lot of times is how people at the university, and I'm trying. We do have a couple of posts on Facebook, one through Juneau People for Peace and Justice, and then we called this Better Than Bombs, you know, because instead of, you know, we're just trying to think of something that's catchy, but that's, what do we want? Something better, you know, there's got to be something better than airstrikes. And one of the things I think that why I've been asked to speak is my son is in the Army. And so even when I marched in the parade with cranes, you know, it's not that people who are supporting peace are not supporting the military. And, you know, I am in that position, and I got an email from my son who's been in the Army for 9 years, and he said, well, we're flying the flags at half-mast for September 11th. And he said, pretty much all of us are not interested in, you know, any more combat. We're really, you know, fatigued, and we have a lot. So I think they'd like to have a role as peacekeepers. It would be really a wonderful shift.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so if people want some more information, you said that they could check it out on Facebook. They mm-hmm. could also, would they just show up?
We're hoping that, I was thinking of even having a sign that said join us, you know, so that somebody that didn't even know that's driving downtown could just see, oh, there's a bunch of people walking with, you know, flags and cranes and singing, looks like fun, you know, maybe I'll join.
Yeah, should people bring posters and drums and
And also someone said American flags, you know, like it's like we are very patriotic and we want to, nobody wants anybody else to have to shed their blood, you know, whether they're Syrian, American, Palestinian, you know, there's just so much blood in the earth already. So it's an age-old message, but when I used to teach music, I found a song I used to do, which was, Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. And it's like, why should that be a strange dream, you know? And I still have that dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Linda, thanks so much for coming to talk to us on Saturday. Can you give us the start time one more time?
Yeah, 1 o'clock we'll be gathering, so 1 to 1, probably 10 after, you know, just to let people park and get organized. And then we'll be walking on the sidewalk. We've got permits to do this and gathering at Marine Park with a mic so that people can, you know, feel free to bring guitars and bring the little chants, you know, that we can easily learn and sing together. So raise our voices and our cranes and our streamers.
Great. Thank you so much. It's Juno People for Peace and Justice leading a march this Saturday. Thanks so much, Linda.
Thank you, Shauna.
And now here for a little bit of Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 12th of September, 2013. It's the birthday of the man who asked that his epitaph read, "If after I depart this veil you ever remember me and have thought to please my ghost, forgive some sinner and wink your eye at some homely girl." Henry Louis Mencken, H.O. Mencken, born in Baltimore on this day in 1880. Popular journalist of his day, wrote about con artists and attacked chiropractors in the Ku Klux Klan, and most of all attacked Puritan morality. He called Puritanism the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. And he wrote a book called The American Language, came out in 1919, a history and collection of American vernacular speech. It's the birthday of the publisher Alfred A. Knopf, New York City, 1892. Started his publishing house when he was 23 years old. He became the publisher of Franz Kafka, Sigmund Freud, D.H. Lawrence, James Baldwin, Theodore Dreiser, Langston Hughes, and his favorite of all his authors was Willa Cather. It's the birthday of the author of The English Patient, Michael Ondaatje, born in Colombo, Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, 1943, grew up in an English colonialist family. The English Patient, set in Tuscany at the end of World War II, about the relationship between a mysterious, badly burned patient and his nurse. And it's the anniversary of the Battle of Marathon, took place on this date in the year 490 B.C. King Darius I of Persia was determined to crush the cities of Athens and Eritrea because they had burned the Persian city of Sardis to the ground. He wanted revenge. He sent his armada to capture Eritrea, and then his forces moved on toward Athens. The two armies met across the plain of Marathon. The Athenians, outnumbered by the Persians, they were hoping for reinforcements from Sparta to arrive. The Athenians defeated the Persians in a rout, and a Greek messenger named Pheidippides ran the 26 miles from Marathon to Athens to bring the news of the victory, and collapsed and died when he got there. That was the legend anyway. And it was from his run that the organizers of the first Olympic Games in 1896 came up with the idea of a commemorative race, which they called a marathon. Here's a poem for today by Dr. Adam Posner, entitled A Podiatry Fairy Tale. This little piggy went to market, this little piggy stayed home, and this little piggy, well, he's sick, poor guy, got a case of the fungus, big bad trichophaton, blue hyphae, under his nail, turned it to porridge, ragged like a witch's tooth or hunchback trowel, hard as an unkissed toad, probably caught it from someone's slipper. The crystal ball of randomized, controlled, double-blind trials shows half of such nails will magically change from ugly duckling to sleeping beauty by the stroke of 12 weeks of Lamisil taken orally. It's no genie in a bottle, no knight in shining armor, just your best chance for a happy ending. A Podiatry Fairy Tale by Dr. Adam Posner, used by permission of the poet here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Quercus, publisher of the new thriller Alex, by Pierre Lumaitre, where even the killer isn't safe. In bookstores everywhere, Quercus, stories worth reading, books worth recommending. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser, and you're listening to KTOO 104.3. And I'm very lucky to have in the studio with me two very talented people. I'm so lucky all the time. Laura Haywood and Tom Loker. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Shona.
And they're here to talk to us today about Juno Cabaret that's happening this Sunday at Rockwell. And, you know, it's interesting because I kind of started off, you know, we were just talking in the studio a minute ago, and I had no idea that Juno Cabaret is actually, like, it's a thing now, you know, like it's its own thing. So, Tom, you want to give us some background just about how it all started?
Back in 2009, I received an email message from local singer Beatrice Cajel, and she said, this thing's happening, and she introduced me to Laura, and we had our very first show in the Big Blue, the rehearsal space that the big band uses, Thunder Mountain Big Band, and we quickly outgrew that venue, and it's become something much larger than any of us could have ever anticipated. Laura?
Well, it turns out that Juno has a big appetite for this kind of music, and I think it's a combination of, you know, people watch Glee on television, and they watch Who's Your Diva, and then there's Barney McClure, who really, with his cabaret workshops, really got the whole thing going, and that was what inspired me, Barney McClure would have these workshops, people would have a wonderful time, do this great performance, and then what? So we really wanted to give performance opportunities to people who were, some of them are very seasoned performers, and many of them had never performed before at all, and it's just a wonderful mixture, and the audience really loves this music.
The great thing about Juno Cabaret is we have a mix of veteran performers and beginners, and they get to observe each other, learn from one another, and it's a very supportive, relaxed atmosphere, and it's great to watch people recover from mistakes and grow as singers in the same night or even in the same song. So
yeah, exactly.
Very satisfying.
So do you do one every fall and every spring? Is that how it works?
We do it four times a year now. We've been doing it quarterly. So
oh, wow.
We did one in June, and then we've got one coming up Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
So Sunday night, what time does it start?
Starts at 7.
Okay.
That's at Rockwell.
Okay.
And it's pay as you can.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And there will be lots of food and drink provided by Rockwell. You can be upstairs in the ballroom and order food, and they'll bring it up to us. And so it should be a really fun time.
So yeah. Tell me a little bit about the singers and actually who's performing that evening and what we can expect music-wise.
The cool thing about Juno Cabaret is we have both women and men performing, and all ages, typically. We ask that singers who sign up for the first time be 14 or older or get permission from their accompanist or Laura, our producer, to get in the show. But anyone who lines up an accompanist can sign up for the show in advance. And for example, this Sunday, we're going to have some great singers. Therese Thibodeau is going to come back and sing with us. Jackie Farnsworth, who's been an accompanist with Juno Cabaret for some time, is now going to be singing as well. Derek Grimes and Maddie Nolan are going to be back singing with us. John Haywood, that's Laura's spouse. He's one of our perennial favorites at Juno Cabaret. We have some people appearing for the first time, Mimi Herman. And David Shakely and I are going to sing, actually.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure if we were going to let the cat out of the bag, but
The cat's out.
So, Tom, a lot of people know you from just playing beautifully and accompanying, you know, all sorts of really fabulous performers, and now we get to actually, if you could see his eyes right now, it'd be great. Now we get to hear your voice, and it's so exciting. Can you give us a little hint about what you might sing?
Well, I attended the adult camp at Sitka Fine Arts Camp back in July and took a jazz vocal workshop from Dee Daniels and Sharni Wade, and we had the Native Jazz Quartet behind us, well, three of them. And I learned a lot about singing, worked very hard, and I think I'm brave enough now to do it because the capstone at the camp was to sing in front of an audience. It was really strange to be on a stage with no piano in front of me for the very first time ever.
I bet.
Basically, Tom decided if he's going to dish it out, he better be able to take it.
That's the kind of thing. Because over the years, with the growth of Juno Cabaret and a separate production, Jazz Divas, which we've talked about on the air before, I've learned to do some vocal coaching with the singers while I'm rehearsing them, preparing them. And I think to have some credibility as a coach, I needed to know what it's like to be up there singing. And it's not like anything you can imagine. So I look forward to it. David and I talked a lot about what songs we're going to do, and they are both duets, and we're going to trade lines, and both American songbook standards. One's called Just in Time. It's an old Jules Stein song. And then the other is Route 66, a little bit more modern, but still an old-timer from the 40s. Yeah.
So will you be playing and singing, or did you get an accompanist?
Okay. Both of us will, yeah. This time.
Nice. Well, that's great, because I don't think anybody's heard David Shakely. I certainly haven't. So.
I heard him sing in 2007. He and Julie Causey and I were doing a performance at Centennial Hall one night, and she said, boy, for this part of the song, it'd be great to have a backup singer. And he was it, and he was good. So I've been sort of bugging him ever since. That he should sing more, and now he's going to even better.
We're all very excited.
Yeah.
I also want to put in a plug for Dan Wayne, who is an opera singer who really has gotten very interested in jazz standards, and he's someone that people haven't seen him do this kind of thing before, and he's wonderful.
So are they mostly jazz standards, or do you just you get everything? Because you just said, you know, Route 66 too, so.
Yeah, we encourage the singers who sign up for Juno Cabaret to look at the American Songbook Collection when they're trying to choose material for at least one of the songs. Each singer performs two songs. They go on one after another, and some choose pop songs or their favorites, but we try and encourage them to make at least one of the songs of the two songs they perform, something from the American Songbook, something well-known. Something that's rooted in musical theater or jazz.
We get a lot of musical theater pieces.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have many different kinds of accompanists. So, you know, Tom's on sort of the jazzy end, and then we have some accompanists who, you know, who play it more straight, and different singers work well with different accompanists. Mm-hmm. Finding more accompanists is kind of, we have tons of people that want to sing, but we don't have as many people that want to play. So if anyone listening has any interest in accompanying singers, they should definitely come on Sunday night and then come and talk to us, because there's a big need for it.
Big need for accompanists, and I'm happy to show them some tricks and tips. It's not as hard as it looks.
That's what they all say.
Not as easy as it looks either.
So you did mention too that you had maybe one new addition to this list of singers.
Yeah. Well, Mimi Herman's going to appear for the first time.
I think we mentioned Mimi.
Okay.
I think what she's talking about is that unfortunately we had one person get ill.
Oh, right.
And she's going to be replaced by Ronnie Jackson Bear, who.
Right.
You might remember from Who's Your Diva last year and a bunch of other performances. She's got a set of pipes that will just knock your socks off, and she's just a live wire.
I love working with Rhonda. She always gets the crowd behind her. She has great communication with the audience, and this past summer she's been singing aboard one of the carnival ships when it's been in port, and she's also appears at open mic on a regular basis, and she's been a perennial favorite at Juno Cabaret also. So we're really pleased to have her back with us this time.
Yeah, that's great. So if people want to get involved in Juno Cabaret, either as an accompanist or as a singer in the future, what's the best way to do that?
Well, certainly I encourage you to come Sunday night if you haven't come. But we do have a new website that I just sort of threw up there quickly. It's at junocabaret.net, and it'll have links for how to sign up. And basically the procedure is find an accompanist, and then you're in, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's always, you know, more people that want to sing, but maybe they don't have an accompanist. So that is the trick. And certainly Tom accompanies quite a few people. Beverly Haywood is a wonderful resource. Yeah. Robert Cohen has been helping out lately. He's,
yeah. And we've had
a couple people.
Sandy DeLong and Susan Auer serve as accompanists in the past. Megan Feltz many times. She's on a little bit of a hiatus now, but we look forward to having more accompanists.
And Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie Farnsworth also.
Is a stalwart. So.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really great evening, just a really entertaining evening. So can you tell us those details one more time about where and when?
Okay. It's at 7 p.m. It's at Rockwell, which is on Franklin Street. It's 109 South Franklin, the old Elks building. It's upstairs in the ballroom. And like I said, it's pay as you can. So we do accept donations, but there is not a ticket charge, and there will be plenty of food and drinks available for purchase.
And I want to put in a plug for David Shakely as a jazz drummer as well. He often comes in cold and accompanies these singers, and I give him like a 20-second breakdown of what the arrangement's going to be, and he just covers it, and he does it very well, a very tasteful drummer. So we're so pleased to have him back with us again and again.
Oh, that's fabulous. He is great to watch, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Tom and Laura. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Shauna.
And I hope everybody can get out to enjoy that show.
Sunday night.
And that's Hot Club of Cowtown, and they're coming to see us here on September 22nd, playing at Centennial Hall. Juno Jazz and Classics is bringing them to town. It's going to be a really good time. And just stepping into the studio with me, I'm always so happy every Thursday to have the one, the only, Ms. Nancy DeCherney talking to us about all things going on in Juno, the fine arts calendar. Hi there, Nancy. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't need to talk about the cabaret because they just talked, right?
Cabaret, we heard about the what else was it? The fabulous Capital Brew Fest that's happening.
Well, we can never talk too much about
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Well, somebody called me, and they wanted to know if it, because it's going to be a nice day, and so they were trying to decide if they could stand being inside at Brewfest. And the good news is they're going to be outdoors, too. So
there you have it.
You can do it all.
And we also heard from the Juno people for Peace and Justice, and they are doing the march at 1 p.m. on Saturday as well.
Super. So we got covered. Let's go out for a beer.
Okay.
No, there's a whole bunch of really good movies showing over at Goldtown. They've got Fruitvale Station. It's been getting great reviews. That's going on all week. And they have In a World, which is a comedy. I like those. That's very good. She said there's a deadline to apply for Sales Orca College internship program coming up today at 5.
Oh, with
okay,
a,
get on
get
it.
On that. You have an hour and 10 minutes.
Tick, 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 tick. Very good. They have dancing tonight out at the UAS Rec Center, salsa dancing. It's free to the UAS students and $5 for the guests. They're doing lots of exciting things out there at the UAS Rec Center. Friday's the organ concert up at the State Office Building. I like to remind people of that every so often, so you don't forget.
Noon. Love
Mountain it. Music Fest.
When?
It is 7 p.m. on Friday up on the Mount Roberts tram. Tickets at the tramway station. It includes your tram fare. And I remember reading the whole list of people that's going to be up there, and it's fabulous, and it's gone right out of my head in the little breeze that went through my ears when I came across the street. But it's always a wonderful time up there, 7 p.m. Friday on the tram.
Yeah, I love it
for that.
Up there too, yeah.
Evenings at Egan begin. So we've got Changing Shorelines, Early Habitations, and Marine Reptiles of Southeast Alaska, the UAS Egan Lecture Hall at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Road Warriors of Improv. That sounds very
painful. I mean, spontaneously painful. So what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's the improv group, and you never know what they're going to do. It's at the Hangar Ballroom, and it's a pay-as-you-can thing starting at 7 on Friday. So you could go.
Should be fun.
Maybe. Okay, Road Warriors, be careful. And, of course, God of Carnage is opening this weekend. Hey.
We open tomorrow night. What could possibly go wrong on Friday the 13th?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it myself.
It's very funny.
Yes, so there's that. And then it's at 9 p.m. at the Alaskan Harrison B., Friday the 13th at the Alaskan.
Oh, that's right, because Harrison B. was on last week here at the station. And this is the 100th anniversary weekend of the Alaskan Bar.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow. And I thought I was doing well at 40. Is this why they're on whatever that TV show is about?
Oh, are they
hotels
on?
Hotels of whatever.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's exciting.
So
Friday
that's going to be really fun, actually. Harrison mm-hmm. B., you know, mm-hmm. playing some dance music, and then they'll have mm-hmm. a big kind of celebration at midnight.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, 9 p.m., start that out Friday night, and then get up and go to the Brewfest at 1 o'clock at the Jack.
You're expecting people to have a big Friday night, too, Nancy. I like that about you.
Well, you know, what's the point otherwise? So they still do have tickets available, but I forgot to check the count before I came over here, but don't stand around waiting. Up on the tram, we still, Tom Loker and Wayne Norlin are still up on the tram, so that's always another thing to do. And God of Carnage is running through the weekend, of course. Sunday morning at 11, you can go to Rockwell and hear the ukulele jam. They do a great job. There's Ultimate Frisbee at the JDH Turf Field at 5 p.m. and Folk Dancing at the Alaska Club at 6 p.m. Out at the Music on the Fly at the airport, it is the Juno String Ensembles. So they'll be out playing violin music from 6:30 to 7:30 at the airport. Come on out for that. 7 p.m., as we mentioned, it's the Juno Cabaret. They are at Rockwell as well.
That's going to be fun.
Yes, they have a great lineup, and they're really, really, this is a great, you know, they started out just small and simple, and now they're really, they have a thing going.
Yeah, and it's
very
exciting. Which is really nice.
Yeah,
for people
so
like me.
It makes for a nice Sunday evening. Let's see, there's a climbing gym out at the UAS Rec Center on Monday. There's knitting night on Tuesday. On Tuesday, there's also salsa dance lessons at Pavitt's and also waltzing lessons. And that sort of sums it up for this week. But there's next week is going to be a huge one.
What's going on next week, Nessie?
Well, we have a concert coming. The kickoff for our huge season. If you haven't gotten the flyer in the mail, let me know, because you need to get that. There are 8 to 9 different concerts that we're doing. I've lost count.
Wow.
But the Boston Brass and Enso Quartet kick us off on Friday. It's going to be exciting music. I mean, tubas and violins and cellos.
Do you think we could hear just a slice of that real quickly?
I bet you could. Maybe.
Whoa. That sounds very, very exciting. Very ominous, too. So when does that start? When is that concert?
That's at 8 o'clock on Friday night. It's the 500th anniversary, just when the Alaskan was feeling nice and old. It's the 500th anniversary for Shakespeare. So in celebration of that, they are playing music related to Romeo and Juliet. So they'll be having, you know, the things you know from Prokofiev, but also West Side Story and a Elvis Costello piece that's about letters that people used to write to Juliet in Italy. And just all kinds of really interesting music. And it, I don't know, brass, they're exciting. That's all you can say.
Yeah, it's really Shakespeare 500 years old. I'm a huge theater nerd, and that really
seems like it's out of date, doesn't it?
I didn't know that. No, I'm just embarrassed.
Maybe I just made that up.
Sounds good to me.
It's improv. What can I say? Anyway, that's why they're doing this particular lineup of music. So I think they're doing the Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet piece, and then the Prokofiev Ballet, and then West Side Story for sure, and the Elvis Costello thing. So you can come dressed as sharks and jets. That'd be okay.
Oh, that'd be fun. I heard that one of the schools this year might hit up, might do West Side Story, too.
So those folks should come and get a sense of the power and majesty of it. It is tension building, don't you think?
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
It's thrilling. So anyway, we're starting off with that. And then it's, as you mentioned, the Cowtown folks that on Sunday, I think it is after that.
Okay.
So it's a big weekend.
What day is the Enso, the Boston Brass Enso?
That's Friday. Next Friday.
That's next Friday. Mm-hmm. And what venue are they at?
JDHS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's big, and we're hoping that lots of people will come out and just help us kick off our huge season, which, you know, right after that, we have Keola Beamer and R. Carlos Nakai coming about 2 weeks after that.
Who's that?
Keola Beamer is a Hawaiian slot key guitar player, and R. Carlos Nakai is a native flute player. And it's going to just be lovely. It'll be raining and horrible, and you'll wish you were in Hawaii, and there you'll be. It'll be wonderful.
So what else is in the lineup?
Oh, my gosh. There's something that we weren't sure is going to happen, and we're bringing this artist named Shasha Higby. She's going to come in November. You just need to go onto her website because it's indescribable. She does these, it's a kickoff for wearable art. If you're thinking about being a wearable art artist, she's going to do 2 workshops on making masks and movement, and she just does these amazing fabric sculptures. She's really exciting. So that's mid-November. And then we have 2 guitar trios playing together, the California Guitar Trio and the Montreal Guitar Trio in January. And then that right after that, we have wearable art, Technicolor, I think. And aren't you going to direct that?
I think I am. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's pretty exciting. And then we have after that the Gospel Celebration, and then Ruth Moody, and then the Flying Karamazov Brothers, and then a group called Y Music, a chamber group that's pretty avant-garde, and then Chick Corea and Bela Fleck conclude the season. Aren't you excited?
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah, I did just really get excited. Oh, well, good. Yes, so yes. Where can we get more information about the JAHC season and all the calendars?
Well, you can come to jahc.org or to ktoo.org, the same calendar. Shared.
Oh, it's perfect. I love it. It's ingenious. Thank you so much, Nancy.
All right.
Always
thank you.
Always a pleasure. And this is KTOO Juneau. We rebroadcast on translators in the Mindenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks so much for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and I will see you next Thursday. Have a great day.
His deeper problem, I think, is that he has not satisfied anyone, either the American public in Congress or, I think, in the international community.
President Obama...